She marveled at the beautiful landscapes north of Berlin as she sat beside Horst Richter, head of the Gestapo in Leipzig.
"I believe you will find the manor a welcome respite,"
he said affably, as his black limousine emerged from the woods and a small town appeared before them.
"It's been a while since I visited here."
Despite being on friendly terms with a Gestapo officer who had become something of a mentor and father figure, she was bathed in a cold sweat. Horst, as she now called him, had been instrumental in making sure she inherited the vast Huber family fortune. He treated her as a doting father would treat his daughter, something he thought she was lacking, since her parents, and then several months later, both of her brothers, had died in a bombing. There was only one problem. He wouldn't hesitate to send her to the Gestapo's torture dungeons if he ever suspected she wasn't really Annegret Huber, daughter of his late friend SS Standartenfuhrer Wolfgang Huber, but Margaret Rosenbaum, the Huber's former maid, and a Jew. An imposter who'd taken on Annegret's identity after a devastating British air raid had sent the Huber's house tumbling to the ground, leaving Margaret as the sole survivor. It had been a rash decision to grab Annegret's papers, who was only 2 years younger than herself, and pretend to be the high-ranking Nazi's daughter in order to save herself from suffering the same fate of her fellow Jews. She shivered at the memory, not only because of her momentous decision, but even just thinking about the explosion itself. If she closed her eyes, she could still feel the low rumble of the earth when the bombs came nearer, the ear-splitting screech of the impact, and the blood-curdling sound as the building collapsed. Something hit her, and she was knocked unconscious. When she came to again, at first, she couldn't see, because the air was filled with dust and debris. Coughing and spluttering, she finally realized the serendipity that had saved her. The staircase had broken into two, forming a triangle where she'd been trapped beneath, and thus protected from the crumbling walls all around her. Once she could see and breathe again, she crawled from her cave, crinkling her nose at the smell of burnt material and singed flesh. That's when she saw her, Annegret Huber, lying with twisted limbs and empty, staring eyes. When she was still alive, nobody would have confused the two girls for each other. The haughty, elegant, rich, confident daughter of a high-ranking Nazi, and the downtrodden, dull, poor, cowed Jewish maid. But after crawling from a building blasted to shreds, coated in dust, the two girls of similar age, both with brown shoulder-length hair and hazel eyes, would be interchangeable for any stranger. At least, that was what Margaret had based her split-second decision on when she'd borrowed, or rather stolen, Annegret's identity papers. And it had worked, better than planned. In fact, she'd never once imagined she would keep Annegret's identity for longer than was needed to escape Berlin, and certainly never intended to inherit any part of the Huber family's fortune. That day seemed like a lifetime ago, since so much had happened since. And today, she would shed her skin once again and become the mistress of the beautiful manor Gut Plauen, in the quaint village of Plau am See, about 1.5 hours' drive north of Berlin. She'd never been here before and had only seen the place in paintings and photographs. In reality, the landscape was even more beautiful. The dark woods, the lonely roads, everything was so different from war-riddled Berlin. Here, it almost seemed as if Hitler hadn't thrown the country into a raging war years ago, both against its neighboring countries and unbeloved parts of its own population.
"Such a lovely, sleepy town," Margaret exclaimed, as she admired the streets lined by houses and light-colored masonry, with orange-red tiled roofs, red-framed windows, and red doors. When Horst gave her a puzzled glance, she quickly explained,
"It doesn't sound like me, right? I always used to say the countryside was boring and stopped coming here altogether when I was 10 because I hated it so much."
She giggled in Annegret's high-pitched manner, something she'd perfected through weeks of practice in front of the mirror.
"After last year's horrible experiences, I've changed my mind, and right now, peaceful and boring is what I need most."